This podcast is brought to you in part by Boomer Naturals reusable face masks, now in stock for adults and children. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the Boomer Naturals banner at the top of the page to order your face masks today. Use promo code HowieCar20 at checkout to save 20%.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
He just said, "Hey, come here, Tara." And then we were alone, and it was the strangest thing. He just had me up against the wall, and it happened all at once. His hands were on me and underneath my clothes. Yeah, and then he went, "Oh."
A clip from Larry King Live features a call from a woman Reed tells reporters is her mother.
"My daughter has just left there. After working for a prominent senator and could not get through with her problems at all."
I looked up to him. He was like my father's age. He was this champion of women's rights in my eyes.
Come on, man.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The Republican leader, Mr. McCarthy, has assured me.
What was that name again?
Mr. McCarthy. My own governor,
Garrett. Today, Junior?
Was this a tactical mistake by you and Senator Schumer?
Just calm down. We will have state and local, and we will have it in a very significant way.
There's nothing good about what you do or who you are.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
We are continuing to see what I would call a plateau with respect to our hospitalization rates. And we believe that it's important for us to create some clarity around this issue with respect to May 4th, and you'll hear from us later on this week on that.
Well, why are you waiting?
Good question.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Post me on social media. You're the idiot doing the wrong thing. I'm just trying to save your ass and save your life. But die, okay? I hope both of you get the coronavirus. I hope you both die a long, painful death.
You are the worst person I know.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
That last cut was a New Jersey teacher screaming at a couple of her students that she ran into who were in a park tossing around a football, and she just totally lost it. And they tweeted it out, and they said, "Y'all, Mrs. Griggs has totally lost her mind. How the bleep is she a public school teacher?" Everyone who's seen it is asking themselves the same question. Talk about the Trump derangement syndrome or coronavirus derangement syndrome. Hey, turn off CNN, okay? Start doing a little research. She hopes they die a long, painful death. 844-500-4242. I think my favorite quote of the weekend, though, was Nancy Pelosi Antoinette Biden telling Jake Tapper to calm down. She slapped him around like he was some low-level congressional staffer to a backbencher congresswoman who was married to another congressman who was about to go to the can for $10 million in bank fraud, which is what he really is. That's Jake Tapper's background. And she's treating him like he's still a congressional staffer. That's because that's what he is. He has somebody different signs his paycheck than the woman who was married to the congressman who went to prison and whose son married Chelsea Clinton. But he's still doing the same thing, carrying water for Democrats. And he stepped out of line. He engaged in lese majeste. He insulted the Queen. Queen Marie Antoinette Biden. 844-500-4242. Did you hear Charlie Baker saying the problem is plateauing? If only the BS wasn't plateauing. Was plateauing, I should say, in Massachusetts. Today, the city of Somerville announced there's going to be $300 fines for people not wearing masks. Now, again, remember, this is the city of Somerville, which has thrown out the welcome mat to illegal aliens. So my question for Mayor Kurt Tone is, will illegal aliens not wearing masks as they go about their daily routine of, selling fentanyl maybe? engaging in MS-13 gangbanger activities down in Foss Park. Will they be fined, or will it just be U.S. citizens? And how about Salisbury? I got a call from Fox this weekend, and I got a text about it on Friday night, and I didn't even know what the guy was talking about. He said they're not going to turn on our water, and I you know, it was news to me. If it's news to you, it's news to me. You know, when the news breaks, we fix it. So apparently, you know, Salisbury, it's right on the New Hampshire line. And it used to be kind of working class resort. That's where the Irish gang war started back in the 60s. The two gangs got into a big drunken brawl up there. Used to be a honky-tonk area there. Maybe there still are a few biker bars. Some people up from the Worcester County Sheriff's Department used to get in trouble up there. And they had it was like a mini Nantasket. But it's kind of gone a little upscale now. But it's basically still more blue-collar than other resort seaside communities. And so all the people are coming back now that have summer cottages, and they want to turn on the water. But the town has announced that they're not going to do it because they're afraid that out-of-staters are going to come to Salisbury Beach. Well, number one, if you're trying to escape COVID-19, you wouldn't be going to Massachusetts, would you? I mean, Massachusetts is, the third or fourth most infected state in the union, if you're worried about things like that. And number two, what about the Constitution? Article 4, Section 2, all citizens of the several states shall have the same civil rights. And incidentally, they're not going to turn on the water for them. Are they also going to not require the residents of the Salisbury Beach summer cottages that can't get the water turned on? Are they going to require them not to pay their property tax? Oh, you have to pay your property taxes even though you can't get the services. Oh, okay. I get it now. So this is what's going on. Oh, and the golf courses remain closed. The golf courses. Isn't that funny? Wait, New York. New York, which has over half the cases in the United States of America, has reopened the golf courses, but not Massachusetts. Okay? Why don't they just stop selling menthol cigarettes right now? Why wait till July 1st? Just do it right now. Just get it. You know, just stop selling everything you don't like. 844-500-4242. Bruce from the Met says, I live very near Salisbury Beach, and it's still a blah, blah. It used to be worse, Bruce. What can I tell you? I think it used to be worse. I mean, I can't, the guy, by the way, the town manager, Neil Harrington, is he one of the Salem Harringtons? You know, the Harringtons, Kevin Harrington, the former Senate president who had to resign because he took a payoff in the form of a check, $1,000 check, or Congressman Michael Harrington, who was convicted of bank fraud, or Nancy Harrington, their cousin, who was president of Salem State College, now university, because it's really a world-class institution, don't you know? And she's got a pension of $150,000 a year. Is he one of those Harringtons? I wonder. He certainly has that good Democrat totalitarian outlook on things, that he could just cut people's water off. I guess he got the okay of the Board of Health, but this is what's going on here, this BS. 844-500-4242. Biker bar is a widely overused term, says 781. Real outlaw bikers are from a bygone era. Oh, I meant to tell you something. How about the cut from Chuck Todd? F. Chuck Todd. He's so happy about what's going on here. Play cut 7.
Next. And if we go to break, if there's a good thing about this economic crisis, it's been the clean air and views we haven't seen for a long time. Take a look.
Views. Views we haven't seen for a long time. I saw a view yesterday. You know, it was at 8:55. I looked on my watch. I was coming back before the coronavirus took over the bike path. I wanted to get into a safe spot where I could just listen to the motorcycles of the police going by endlessly on the bike path to make sure no one was over the age of 11 was on there. And just as I was turning in, I saw the guy on the cop on the motorcycle. They were these three fishermen. You know, it's the bike path is right on the intercoastal waterway, Lake Worth, they call it. They were minding their own business, not even talking. They were 6 feet apart because even if there wasn't this nonsense going on, they would have been 6 feet apart. And the cop tells him, "You have to leave here. You can't fish after 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Because that's when the cooties come out. The coronavirus cooties come out.
Barbaric.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us, we've got a full day, as always. In case you didn't hear it, the president first said he wasn't going to have a press conference today. Now he changed his mind. He is going to have a press conference today, the usual time, somewhere between 5 and 6. That's when it starts. Who knows when it ends? 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
With all the uncertainty in the world, feeling safe at home has never been more important. That's why you need Simply Safe Home Security for just 50 cents a day. Head to simplysafehowie.com and get free shipping and a risk-free 60-day trial. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Hey, Howie, it's Jared. I'm actually sitting in for Taylor today.
Okay, right, hey, Jared.
No worries. I don't sing Sinatra, though. Poll
That's
question.
Okay.
Should the president be cutting back on his daily press briefings?
Yeah, I think he should. I know he, you know, again, he didn't have any on Saturday or Sunday, and then the word was he wasn't going to have one today, but he just changed his mind about an hour ago, and he's going to have one after all. Victor Davis Hanson, who we had on as a guest last week, had an interesting column today, and he said that, the president, if you watch the whole thing, the president stomps these guys, you know, but he says most low-info voters, the people who think they're going to die if they don't wear a mask, they just see bits and pieces, and these are Pyrrhic victories, and so he's got to tone it down. So I'm going to say yes, he should cut it back.
76% say yes, he should cut it back.
All right. 844-500-4242. We got the Biden stuff today. We got all kinds of stuff, and there's an outrageous bailout of a left-wing billionaire-funded website that just happened. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but let's take a couple of calls here. Jackie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jackie.
Hi, Howie. How are you today?
Good.
I live in Massachusetts, and when the governor finally, or the health department finally released statistics a week ago, I started following them as to how many cases per town.
Right.
Now Massachusetts has, 351 communities?
Correct.
And 243 towns. If you look at the 243 towns...
I think there's more than that, actually, but go ahead anyway, you know.
Well, that's what they said. Anyways, there were 217, as of April 15th, there was 243 towns with less than 50 cases.
Yeah.
The latest
one of them actually, Jackie, was this Salisbury. I looked at this the other day. Salisbury, where they've shut off the water to people who want to come back to live in their beachfront homes that they pay property taxes for. Salisbury has a rate of 2.5 times lower rate than my town of Wellesley, which is, let's be honest, an upscale community, one town over from Boston. So Salisbury has 19 cases, and they've shut off water to 300 property taxpayers. What is going on here, Jackie? This is total overreaction, isn't it?
It sounds like to some of the Democrats who run the town, I don't know if it's a mayor or what up there, they're just becoming fascists or something like that. Did you know that as of the last report, 112 towns in the state had 10 or less cases?
I've been tweeting out the death rates per age group, the death rates and, you know, how many have died and what the rate is per 100,000. I tweeted it out about 2 hours ago. You can follow me at Howie Carr Show. And just check it out. It's right on their own dashboard. And John Hinderacher found it. I didn't even know it existed. I asked the Herald. I said, why don't you print this every day? It would tamp down the panic, you know, among the low info voters. And they don't want to do it. I'm surprised the state is even running it. I think eventually the state will just stop running it because it goes against their narrative. There's 2,700 deaths, and 2,400 of them are over the age of 70. New York City, of all the people that have died, 99.2% had underlying conditions. Underlying conditions, 99.2%. Here's one from Ventura County, California. A 37-year-old California man who died of a drug overdose has been added to the coronavirus death toll. He tested positive for the novel coronavirus, which was coded as a significant continuing condition, according to the Ventura County spokeswoman. Last month, a 61-year-old Pennsylvania man who died from a head injury, but at the autopsy tested positive for COVID-19, was added to the coronavirus death toll as well. Thanks for the call, Jackie. Margaret, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Margaret.
Hello, Howie.
Hi.
Your show is a bright spot in my world.
Thank you.
I don't get to listen to you until after work, and this way I can listen to you right off. I'm calling about Joe Biden's presidency is like something that happens in third world countries. Biden is just the front man. All the faceless people behind him will be looting the treasury in every way they can.
They already have been. They already have been, Margaret. You know that. I mean, go to Peter Schweizer's book, Profiles in Corruption. There's two or three chapters on the Biden family. I mean, it's not only Joe and Hunter. It's his two brothers. It's his daughter. It's his nieces. You know, they've all got their hands in the till. It's just really amazing.
It will be everybody all the way through the whole government. They will add the Democratic cronies, and they'll never go away.
I know. I agree. It's very scary. And, you know, they keep saying, oh, he's okay. He's okay. You know, he's about as in touch with reality as Kim Jong-un. You know, they said today, here's a letter Kim Jong-un wrote to the resort workers where he's hanging out. So he must be okay, because here's the letter, and here's his signature, and here's the date. Okay. Joe Biden's okay, because he's somehow in the, he's in the basement there saying crazy things. Cut one, Jared, cut one.
And I'm so honored, so genuinely moved by the faith that you have placed in me.
So genuinely moved. We got more. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. You know, if you were disturbed when you heard that Shake Shack got $10 million from the first bailout package, which they later returned, You're going to be even more disgusted with this next story that was reported by the Free Beacon, Washington Free Beacon. And joining us now on the line is Aliana Johnson. She's the editor-in-chief of the Free Beacon. And there's a left-wing website called Axios. It's not as bad as some, but it's left-wing. And it's a vanity site for billionaires like Steve Jobs' widow, who's worth $25 billion. $25 billion, maybe more, and a bunch of others. And NBC News, you know, the very down the middle NBC News is an investor. But I'll let Aliana Johnson explain it. Hey, very good job for the Free Beacon to get this story. How come I'm sure the Washington Post and the New York Times are following this up big time today, right?
Thanks, Howie. You know, that really was part of the point of our editorial about Axios, which has less than 200 employees receiving $5 million in the first round of funding from this bailout bill. I noticed in the media that there was a lot of outrage, as you mentioned, about Shake Shack, which has over 6,000 employees, and about Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. And those businesses have now vowed to return the money. But
right,
this $5 million puts Axios in the top 1% of recipients. And, you know, they've got billionaire backers who the question for me was, did they go to their billionaire backers like Laureen Jobs, NBC News, the chairman of Walmart, Jeffrey Katzenberg and his firm are another. And did they ask them for a helping hand before they went to the taxpayers?
Any of those people you just mentioned could write a check for $5 million without blinking an eye. Right?
That's right. And Axios did come forth and say that they had received this money, but it left a lot of unanswered questions. The Treasury Department gave very vague guidance on who qualified for paycheck protection. But one of the pieces of guidance they put out were that you can't have access. You need to look for other sources of capital before you go to the American taxpayer. And, you know, it was frustrating not to have our questions answered about whether Axios had gone to its wealthy backers before it took one of the largest grants from this program, which it ran out of money incredibly quickly before it went to the government trough.
Right. Well, as you point out in the story, Shake Shack has over 6,000 employees and got $10 million. Axios got half as much as that, and they have fewer than 200 employees. So what is the average wage of an Axios journo? I'll call it a journo list as opposed to a journalist, because they're lefties. But, how can they justify this? I read the quote from them. They gave you a quote. There is nothing more soul-crushing than laying people off. What about the people in the restaurants that aren't making $100,000, $200,000 a year, that don't have trust funds, that don't live in one of the most affluent suburban counties in the United States? Like all these people that work at Axios, they probably live in these 7 out of the 10 richest counties in the USA, right? I mean, I'd rather help out people at Shake Shack than people at Axios.
And I think we can certainly say that about those who are running the site. And what I really noticed, and, you know, I used to report in the mainstream media, I covered the White House at Politico for 3 years, was that there's a real reluctance among those working in the mainstream to hold each other to account and to call each other out. And so I think you saw a communal shaming among mainstream media reporters of businesses like Shake Shack and Ruth's Chris, but a total silence when it came to one of their own doing, though the Treasury Department regulations allowed it, I think the wrong thing.
And again, I had no idea that Steve Jobs' widow was worth that much, and I also had no idea that she was one of the backers of Axios. And did you try to contact her? Because I guess she is the most deep-pocketed of all the deep pockets that are backing this vanity website. Right?
That's right. You know, we did go to their wealthiest donors for comment, and we did not get a response as to whether Axios had approached them for more funding. And we also didn't get a response from Axios itself when we posed the same question. Though they did respond to our questions, they declined to answer that specific question. So I think that makes what happened pretty clear.
So this guy that's the CEO, his name Vandehei, did he used to run Politico?
He did.
So he used to be your boss, right?
I actually arrived at Politico after he left, but, you know, I have tremendous respect for him as a journalist and professional, but it does look like, you know, I have to say the onus is really on Axios' colleagues in the mainstream media to cover this story, and they're not doing that. I think Jim Vandehei did what a lot of other business owners are doing, and they're being called to account for it. But what we see from Axios' mainstream media colleagues is silence, because, you know, these are the people they attend cocktail parties with and who they socialize with in D.C.
Well, it's like CNN refusing to cover their own story about Tara Reid's mother, right? I mean, this is just another variation of it. Or the refusal to even ask Joe Biden or his potential running mates about the allegations of Tara Reid. It's all a club.
I think that's right. And I think with CNN, the most galling example has been, it's become pretty obvious that Chris Cuomo, the primetime CNN host, broke the quarantine rules imposed by his brother, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. And again, you hear crickets from the mainstream media when Republican governors around the country are being shamed for being, the mainstream media accuses them of being reckless, loosening these quarantine requirements. But when it's one of their own, when it's somebody in good standing in the mainstream media, they're no longer held responsible.
Right. Well, I mean, if you want to look at that, I mean, look at the different treatment that two governors are getting that are trying to loosen up the lockdowns. Brian Kemp, a Republican in Georgia, and Jared Polis, a Democrat in Colorado. Polis is described as a statesman, and Kemp is a reckless redneck. But they're basically proposing the same thing.
I think that's right. And, as to the wisdom of those policies, we really have to take a wait-and-see approach. So I think it is premature for the media to shame these folks when we don't know what the results will be, and absolutely fair game on them to report what the results of the decisions are.
Yeah. And someone just texted me and said the Los Angeles Lakers, the basketball team, they just they returned their money too, or they're not going to accept the money. So I mean, a lot of people that are corporations that are very well known and very popular with the public are doing the right thing. I mean, you would think Axios would do the right thing too. What do you think you're going to hear from them, are they just going to try to stonewall their way through it like the Biden campaign with Tara Reid?
You know, I think what would force them to answer is additional scrutiny from their mainstream media colleagues. It's easy, I think, when a conservative website comes to them and demands comment for them to dismiss it as a right-wing attack. But it's a lot harder when mainstream media outlets hold each other to account. And that's really what we're not seeing. We're not seeing it with Axios and other outlets. And we're not seeing it with CNN and Chris Cuomo and exactly what happened there.
I'm glad you mentioned, too, that, one of the investors is NBC, whose star business correspondent, Stephanie Ruhle, has been slamming big businesses and those that aren't in dire need for taking government funds. And yet, in effect, NBC is taking government funds.
That's right. I think one of the things that's frustrating to average people when they see this is that these investors, whether it's Loreen Jobs or Walmart's Greg Penner, the chairman of their board, or NBC News, if Axios is able to sell, and it's reported to be worth $200 million, if it's able to sell for anything like that when this crisis is over, its billionaire investors will profit, and they will have been helped through the coronavirus by the taxpayer after getting money that arguably they could have gotten elsewhere.
Steve Jobs' widow runs this group called the Emerson Collective, and they say that it's a social change organization that wants to create policy solutions to create the greatest good for the greatest number of people. I dare say, Eliana Johnson, that the greatest good for the greatest number of people in this case would be to turn the money back and let it go to small businesses that are undercapitalized, that are choking to death, that can't meet the payroll, that can't pay the utilities, that can't pay the landlords. I mean, these are the people who need the money, not Steve Jobs' widow.
You know, the other option, I think, for Lorene Jobs would be simply to back up one of her investment properties, in this case Axios, before allowing them to apply for the PPP and be one of the first recipients, you know, arguably butting to the head of the line ahead of other needier people, as you suggest.
Okay. Thank you for being with us, Ileana Johnson, the editor-in-chief of the Washington Free Beacon. If you want to read this story, you can go to freebeacon.com, freebeacon.com. Great story and good scoop for you guys. Congratulations.
Thanks, Howie.
Thanks. 844-500-4242. What an outrage. Not really shocking, but still very exasperating. Wouldn't you say? I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. In case you tuned in late in that segment, Axios is this far left wing boutique website. And it's financed by all these rich left-wing billionaires like NBC News and Steve Jobs' widow, who's worth $25 billion, and people from Walmart and Goldman Sachs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they just got $5 million from the PPP, the Payroll Protection Plan. $5 million. They have fewer than 200 people working for them. They got half as much as Shake Shack, Shake Shack did. And Shake Shack has 6,000 employees. And they gave the money back. No word yet on whether Axios is going to give the money back. So, you know, it's the old do as we say, not as we do, you know? They're very concerned about people, about rich people ripping off the program, except when it's them being the rich people who are ripping off the program. 844-500-4242. We're going to have somebody on from Treasury to talk about this at 5:30. I'll ask about this, and there are other things to ask about, too. A guy just texted me, says his brother has a seasonal business on the Cape, and 2 years ago he hired many Filipino workers as temporary H-2B workers. So last year they weren't allowed to come back into the country because Trump obviously wanted Americans to get those jobs. So guess what? All those Filipinos are back in the Philippines, and guess what they just got in the mail or in direct deposit? They got their checks. They can't come back into the country, but they got their checks. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Howie. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
Here in Maine, I was watching the governor at 2 o'clock, Governor Mills.
Yes.
And they gave out all their stats for the entire state. And there's 1,023 confirmed cases in the entire state. We
right.
have over 1.3 million people. 51
yeah.
have died. 549 have totally recovered. And there's 39 in the hospital, with 16 of them in the ICU. And she's still trying to decide whether or not to take off the stay-at-home order, which is supposed to expire on the 30th. And most of the cases in the state are in the two southern counties,
right.
York and Cumberland.
Right. You know how ridiculous this shutdown is? Even the Boston Globe today has a story, David, saying that, you know, once you get north of Cumberland County, there's nothing. There aren't any cases.
Yeah, Scattersquist County, quite a rural county, has one case. Just one. And she's trying to decide, and the press got after her trying to say, well, when are you going to start opening up the state? Well, we're working on the guidelines. That's all we ever hear. Other than that, it's just
I know. You know, David, originally when they started doing this, it was supposed to be for a week or 10 days. Now it just goes on and on and on. And they keep, and you know, all the bureaucrats and all these petty little tyrants, whether they're governors or mayors or county judges in Texas, they're getting, I don't care what anybody says, they'll never admit it, but they're getting off on this, don't you think, David?
Oh, yeah. And the problem that really irritates me, and I think irritates her, is last week there were two protests outside the governor's mansion, one on Monday and one on Friday. People are saying, let us get back to work. The numbers don't add up.
Right. Yeah. Monday was Patriots Day, so everybody was off. I mean, but everybody's off. Most of the people who don't get Patriots Day off, this was the first time they've ever gotten Patriots Day off because they're in the dreaded private sector. I mean, this has got to come to an end. This in most places. Thanks for the call, David. Jimmy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, I just got your shirt. I ordered it on Monday and I got it on Friday. It is awesome.
Thank you.
And it's time to shut down the Democrat Party for good in 2020. That includes rhinos as well.
I just did a hit with Sean Spicer for his show on Newsmax tonight, and he described, he said, Republican Governor Charlie Baker, and I said, Sean, you can't call him a Republican. You got to put that in quotes, you know? You got to put it in, he's not a real Republican. You know, maybe I should stay registered in Massachusetts just so I can vote against him in 2022. If I stay registered in Massachusetts and vote in 2022, I'm going to go to the polls, whether I vote against him in the primary or in the general. I'm going to be wearing a mask. I'm going to show my feelings for Governor Charlie Parker, a.k.a. Tal Duvall. I'm Howie Carr.